Well, I just want to encourage you about this last Wednesday's message. If you weren't there or weren't watching by live streaming, I encourage you to get the message and listen to it. It was excellent. And what we're doing this year more and more each week, I believe, is aligning ourselves with God and His Word and His plan. And when you do that, you're going to see more fruitfulness, more of a demonstration of His power. Does that make sense? And religion and our thinking gets in the way of that. Our traditions. The Bible says our traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. And so little things, seeds get in there and things that we, you know, some of it's deception, but things get in there and we feel like we're doing good things, but there's no power. And so it was just an excellent message, and I encourage you to go listen to that. All righty, let's go back to Luke 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. We've been talking about seeking God for the city and making an impact on this city, and the Lord has shown us some things about that, of what part of Good News Church will play in that. And God's working in this city. Luke 7, verse 18. And you know the story. We read it last week, and Susie read it again on Wednesday. But John the Baptist is in prison, and he's just having, as I could imagine, just some doubts about things and about Jesus. And so he has his disciples go talk to Jesus. Verse 18. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the men had come, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour, he, Jesus, cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see." This is, he's about to tell us what happens in his ministry, what happened that particular day, but that's just a normal day for Jesus. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, this is God's plan for today. This is not just for during Bible days and during a certain period of time. This is God's plan for us today. God wants to see the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, if there is a problem with on either end, God's end or our end, where is the problem? Our end, and we'll get into that more, but it's on our end, and so we have to align ourselves with God. We have to align ourselves with the Word in order to see the kind of Bible results. And I don't know about you, but I want to see Bible results. I don't want the glory days to be 2,000 years ago. My Bible says that the latter house will be greater than the former. Jesus said in John 14, 12, "Greater works than these you shall do." And so we have to deal with some things on our end to get in the flow of what God is already doing and wants to do. Jesus was known for miracles. Acts 2, verse 22 says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested." That word attested means evidence or proof of who he was. "A man attested by God to you by miracles." Doesn't say, you know, great preaching or, you know, being a good guy or all the different things. "A man attested to you by God by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, also know. Now, I really like this part Because we could say, well, then Jesus is God, all man. But look at what it says. Signs which God did through him. God did miracles through him. God did miracles through him as the all man. He wasn't special favors because he was the Son of God. And we have that distinction. Well, that worked for Jesus, but that won't work for us. Well, it will if we can come to the place where God works through us. And God wants to work through us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God works through you. And you know that the Gospels is just a representation of all the works of Christ. Can't list them all. Look what it says in John 21. John 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And we're talking about 3.5 years of ministry. So there's a lot of miracles. Man known for miracles. But God worked through him. And then we talked last week, his disciples are sent out. Look what they did, Matthew 10. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say it again. Say power.
Power.
He gave them power, I like this, over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So we have Jesus, a man attested by miracles, signs, and wonders. He then gives that power to the 12 disciples. And the same things that he did, they are now doing. That power is now working in them. Luke 10, I won't read there, but Luke 10, he sends out the 72. So we got the 12, now we've got 72. And part of what they were to do, those that were sent out, was to heal the sick. I mean, are you seeing something here? Then we get to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Who's baptized in the Holy Spirit? A lot of hands. Talking about you here. Not talking about somebody else. Not talking about someone with a special anointing. Not talking about anybody with the gift of evangelism. You know, whatever, all the different reasons why we can't do it. But you, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power. And this word power, said it many times, Greek word dynamis, ability, might, miracle power. Did you know that you have miracle power on the inside of you? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And one of the main purposes for us to be here on the earth is to be a witness. Now, the good question is, what kind of witness are we to be? And the power from the Holy Spirit is to be a witness. And so we've got to learn to tap into that power. The power is there. I mean, you know, electricity has always been around. It's always been there. But we learn to tap into it. Right? And now we have so much benefits from it. We got to learn how to tap into the power that's already residing on the inside of us. And the Bible says it's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's a life-giving power. It's a power that raises dead things. It's a power that changes things. It changes what the enemy has meant for harm, his stealing and killing and destroying. It changes it. It transforms it into life. Resurrection life. So you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, to have some kind of experience. And I thank God for speaking in tongues and all the different parts of it. But the main purpose is to be a witness. In a witness, they share what they've seen, what they've heard. They share it with others. That might be our testimony. It might be sharing the gospel. It might be sharing a scripture. But I think what happens is, and we, the preachers, have promoted this, is we've made it so hard for believers to do the works of Christ. We have all these hoops to jump through in order to do the works of Christ. We've had pastors in this city, in this area, upset that we had members from other churches going with us on outreaches because they weren't qualified to do that. They didn't have the proper training. They didn't, have this. Really what they're saying is, because you're not under my control. And then, you're not doing it right. You're not saying it right. And so we have this, we're almost like paralyzed to say or do anything for fear of making mistakes. I would rather have you step out and make mistakes. Now, I don't want you to fail, but we learn by making mistakes. I would rather have you step out and do something stupid than do nothing, which, by the way, is what the majority of the church does. Come on now. Because we relegated, I'm talking especially in the United States, we've relegated Christianity to be a good person. Being down to a nice little set of moral codes. We don't do that. They do that. They're the world. They're the sinners. They're the heathen. They do that. We don't do that. We're good people over here. And I'm not telling you to be a bad person. I'm just telling you to be who you're made to be. And you've got all this power. Why don't we use it? Use it for the right things. Because I'll tell you what, your niceness and your being a good person is not getting anybody healed. It's not. Should we call it a day? And again, I want you to be a nice person. Be a good person, all of that. But I'm telling you, other religions, they're nice people. They're good people. What's the difference? They have no power. They've got no authority. We're talking about demons fleeing. Corey, demons fleeing from you. Authority, power and authority. And I'm telling you, a whole lot of people, I'm talking about even people in this church, have no and I don't understand, because you've been here, no concept of authority. Walking in authority. The devil just can't come into your area and do all his killing, stealing, and destroying. He can't unless we allow him to do it. We've been given authority. And in Matthew 28, when he said go, all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And then he gave it to us when he said go. He's now authorized us. We've been given authority. But I know we get weak, and I know things happen, but we have authority. We have authority in this church. The devil cannot come into Good News Church and do his mess, his confusion, his lies, all his stuff. He can't do it here because we know his number. He's going to try different things, different opportunities. But I just thank God, Terry, you've been given authority. Matt, you've got authority. You know, and we need someone, Matt teaches in the schools, we need someone with some authority in our schools, in government, in business, in different neighborhoods. But we're just so being good people. I don't want to be just a good person with no power. That's not Bible. Amen. Authority over the devil. I want to see some demon casting out. Any demons in here today? I'm ready for a fight that I'm going to win. Not afraid of no demons. Been watching too many horror movies. But we're hung up about our words. We don't say it right. And see, here's a difference. The early church, they weren't focused on the words. They were focused on the power. They looked to the one that had the power and looked to him and his presence and believed that it worked through them. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. I mean, this is really good. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Because the power settles the issue. The power makes up for a lot of things. And I, brethren, sisterin, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. This is Paul. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. He's not caught up in his words and how he says it and make sure he says it all right and all the particular pattern. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And well, it's not the right power. The word power there is dynamis. Same word. And so we can just say this. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the miracle power of God. We got to get back to believing. And I'm all for doctors, but we got to stop relying on medicine as the only way to receive healing. Or drugs. And I'm talking about not just for your body, but for your mind. We lean on these things, and the enemy sets us up for these things to become dependent on it. But I'm telling you, God's got a better way. I don't need alcohol to get me high. I don't need drugs to pick me up. I've got the Holy Spirit living on me. I got the power of God on the inside of me. I got the healing power of God on the inside. I got miracle power. Miracle power is on the inside of me. Miracles settle the issue. I don't have to live like common people. We can live different. We should live different. But the Bible says to let your light shine. We've not been shining. And I don't know, all kind of reasons. Failure, mistakes, ignorance, pity party, hanging around the wrong people. I don't know, all the listening to the wrong things, wrong preaching. But whatever it is, a combination of all these different things, and it's all the strategy of the enemy. Religion is a strategy of the enemy. Because religion will make you think you're doing the right thing when you're doing the wrong thing, and you're actually tying God's hands. And you think you're doing right. But it's a combination of these things that weaken the church. Well, let's just say, hey, at Good News Church, and we're praying for other ministries. We're not better than anybody else. But let's just say, hey, we're going to be different here. We're going to challenge each other to believe God. We're going to challenge each other to go back to the Word. We're going to challenge each other to walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to challenge each other to be witnesses. And when miracles happen, we'll tell the story.
Yeah. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God.
But and this is the way the church is. We're looking for the miracles to happen in the building. And I'm all for that. When we get together, let's have them. But I'm telling you, we're looking for it to happen here where Jesus intended it for happen out there. We can have 5 miracles in here, but how about having 120 miracles out there? You look at the ministry of Jesus, where did the miracles happen? They happen on the streets. They happen in houses. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Acts 2 said they were all filled. So there was 120 there. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. So we had power on Jesus. We had power on the 12. We had power on the 72. And power now on the 120. Jesus came to show us what the Father was like. Now let's go over to Acts 2. And I just want to show you where the believers, where we fit into the things here. Acts 6, verse 1. Oral Roberts used to say, miracles are coming toward you or past you every day. He also used to say, miracles settled the issue. They do. I want to live a life of miracles. I thank God for the blessings. I walk in the blessings. But I desire to see miracles. We want to reach this city. We're going to have miracles. Acts 6, verse 1, message. During this time, his disciples were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds. Hard feelings developed among the Greek-speaking believers, the Hellenists, toward the Hebrew-speaking believers because their widows were being discriminated against in the daily food lines. So the 12 called a meeting of disciples. They said, it wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibilities for preaching and teaching the Word of God to help with the care of the poor. So, friends, choose 7 men from among you whom everyone trusts, men full of the Holy Spirit and good sense. That's a good thing. And we'll assign them to this task. Meanwhile, we'll stick to our assigned task of prayer and speaking God's word. The congregation thought this was a great idea. They went ahead and chose. The congregation chose. It says, first says Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Then it says Philip. Then it names 5 others. Then we read about this last week, Stephen, Acts 6. So this is a guy waiting tables. This is a waiter. Acts 6, verse 8. Stephen, brimming with God's grace and energy, was doing wonderful things among the people, unmistakable signs that God was among them. This is a believer doing the works of Christ. Acts 8, verse 1. Acts 8, verse 1. That set off a terrific persecution of the church in Jerusalem. The believers were all scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. All that is but the apostles. So the believers are scattered, but the apostles are staying in Jerusalem. Good and brave men buried Stephen, giving him a solemn funeral. Not many dry eyes that day. And Saul just went wild, devastating the church, entering house after house after house, dragging the men and women off to jail, forced to leave home base. The Christians all became missionaries. Do you see that? Not just, the apostles, Not just a few people. They all became missionaries. What's happened to that? What's happened in the church? The Christians all became missionaries. And see, this is our pattern. They reached their world for Jesus. Who wants to reach their world? We don't even have all the hands up. I don't know. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Christians all became missionaries. Wherever they were scattered, they preached the message about Jesus. This is the believers. Going down to a Samaritan city, Philip. Remember Philip? We got Stephen, now we got Philip. This is the other waiter. Philip proclaimed the message of the Messiah. When the people heard what he had to say and saw the miracles, the clear signs of God's action, they hung on his every word. Many who could neither stand nor walk were healed that day. The evil spirits protested loudly, and as they were sent on their way, and what joy in the city. I imagine a day where the believers, it's happening in other parts of the world. It's just not happening here in the U.S., but we're believing for it to happen. I imagine the day when the believers will step out and be Jesus in their world. Start being bold for Christ. Start laying hands on the sick. And if there's a devil in their way, they cast it out. Start doing the works of Christ. So much so that it impacts the city. And it says, great joy in the city. Great joy in Augusta. Great joy in Aiken. Great joy in Grovetown. I mean, our cities need some joy. We're all locked up in our houses and afraid to go out. I was at Lowe's the other day. Who likes to go to Lowe's? It's fun. You know what I'm talking about. I'm at Lowe's and I'm going to get some mulch and some other things. And I get out of the car, and there's this guy that works for Lowe's standing there. He's got the exact cart that I need. And I said, hey, can I use that cart? And he says, sure. He said, that's why I'm here. I'm here to serve. And I'm just like, that's a good attitude. And so he gives me the cart, and then he says this to me. He says, if you need anything, any help, because he knows I got the big cart, you know, I'm going to be getting some big stuff, any help, I'll come and help you bring it to your car. And I'm like, yeah, right. Just like, yeah. So I go in there and I load up my cart. I'm getting like lava rocks and 12 bags of mulch and all this. And so I load it up. It's pretty heavy. You got to be Corey Tiller here. So I'm pushing along. And I get up there, and then the guy's name is Freddie. Freddie comes up to me and says, let me help you. And I still can't wait. And I'm like, I'm always like, when I go like to like Publix or someplace, I can push my own cart. You want to push my cart? But he comes up to ask me for help, and says, do you need help? I got it, but why not? So Freddie and I are pushing the cart together. I don't know what this looks like to people. But in the course of the conversation, we just start, and I talk, he's a seasonal worker, and he wants to work full time, and his son works there, and he's just telling me all this stuff. And I just started encouraging him. And I brought in the G word, God. Woo! And I wasn't worried about what I was going to say or saying it all right or having it all down. I mean, this is just a person that God has joined me with. And I'm encouraging him, and we get to my car, and he helps me load. I don't need help loading it in. I'm in shape, but he's helping me load it in. And anyway, and then I said, Freddie, I believe in favor. I said, God, I'm just going to agree with you right now. You get that job here. I said, God's going to take care of you. And then he just opened up. He said, he'd been married like 36 years. He's got saved when he was 39. Made a lot of mistakes. Still makes mistakes. All kind of things that he was sharing with me. We're just having this conversation with my car. Then he says this to me at the end, which really broke my heart. And he'd been there maybe like 2 months, 2.5 months. He said, you are the first person that's encouraged me since I've been here. That's sad. And I'm telling you, I mean, he just ate it up. He didn't have any physical, any needs, you know. I would have prayed for him for that. But I mean, he was open. Now, I know everybody's not that way. But God's got these opportunities for all of us. But I know we're in such a hurry. And I know. I mean, I got my list. But we've got to start taking a little more time. And as we're praying about things, God's going to open up doors for us to have these kind of opportunities. It's not going to be hard to pray for people. Really, it's on our end. And people will open the door to you. But what are we going to do? Are we just going to give them the world's words? Or are we going to give them Jesus? And again, I'm not talking about condemnation and laying 25 scriptures on them. I'm just talking about loving them. And serving people, and what do you need? What you need, we have something for you. We have life.
Yes, yes.
And I want to have a church like this. That's what our mission here is: empowering people to give life and to bring life in whatever world that God has you to go in. You go places I don't go. I go places you don't go. But I will say this, I'm making some changes because I'm not around enough lost people. I got to get around more lost people. So I'm thinking about ways, asking God for strategies. Because, I mean, have something to offer. Amen? What joy in the city. I'm praying about that. I want joy in our city. I don't want division. I don't want strife. I don't want chaos. I don't want riots. I don't want hatred. I want joy. And this is Bible here. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Has he anointed Jesus with anything he doesn't anointed us with? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And because of that, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And I think that's the key here. Jesus found himself in the Word of God, found out who he was, and he realized God was with him, and realized God's power, and realized that power was with him. And as a result, he took that power wherever he went. The result of the anointing is doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. I got good news for you here today. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey. We've been talking about obedience. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Just like he was with Jesus, God is with us. And we have got to begin to find ourselves in the Word. And again, you know, I know many are learning. We're learning new things here. But I'm just asking you to open your heart. Open yourself. And start begin to feed on the Word of God and begin to start saying who you are. Saying what you can do. Speak the Word. And, you know, it would be good to wake up in the morning and say, today is a miracle day. Today. I'm not talking about some other point, other time. Today is a miracle day. That miracle power is in me. Lord, open up opportunities for me today to witness. Open up opportunities to share my testimony. Open up opportunities to share the gospel. Open up opportunities for me to lay hands on the sick. Do you think God, will he not do that? He will do it. And I'm not saying to make it happen. You know, everybody at Walmart, you just go around from person to person. If he calls you to do that, I mean, you be obedient. But if we will just kind of walk a little slower and stop being in such a hurry. Look at Jesus' ministry, what he was able to accomplish. I mean, he's on his way to do one miracle, and they're stopping him for other miracles. I mean, these are life and death situations. Doesn't he know? And he's taking the time for this person for a miracle when he's on his way to raise someone else up. I mean, he just walks slowly. And the Spirit of God is in us. And you're going to meet these people that are just open to you. And just don't worry about all saying all the things right. Just start talking to them. You know how to do that. Start talking to them. But then there's going to be an opportunity for you to share. You can share your testimony. Share something that just happened to you. And that'll open the door. And then say, hey, may I pray for you? And I believe God's going to, I know, demonstration. I believe in 2019, greater demonstration of the power in Augusta, greater demonstration in all the different areas in North Augusta, that's where I live, greater demonstration of the power. Acts chapter 4, they prayed about the power. And as we're seeking God for the city, I encourage you to speak over this city. Speak over your neighborhood. Pray for the other churches. I know how hard it is to do church. It's not easy. But we got to align ourselves to the Word.